This is the story of the one. As a custodial supervisor at a high school, he knows that during cold and flu season, germs spread fast. It's why he partners with Grainger to stay fully stocked on the products and supplies he needs, from tissues to disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Also that he can help students, staff, and teachers stay healthy and focused. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
E-A-G-L-E-S, Eagles.
Welcome in, everybody, to a Wednesday edition of Birds 365 here on Jacob Sports, just 3 or 4 days removed from the NFL draft. Still breaking down who the Eagles brought in, the new players, what the new makeup of the team will look like here. Johnny Mack, how you doing on this Wednesday morning, brother?
Draft behind us, offseason work in front of us, starting to pick up. Jordan Davis decision got to be done quickly by the end of the week. So,
deadline on that is tomorrow, correct? Not Friday, right?
Correct, tomorrow.
Yeah, so we should hear on that by tomorrow with Jordan Davis. We are going to talk a little NFL draft. We are going to talk a little defensive line this morning. Speaking of Jordan Davis, John, I do want to ask, did anything come out on the rookie camp or the dates on any of that stuff? Any idea when that next offseason work is?
It's not official. Not going to be this weekend, obviously, at this late stage, although you never know with the Eagles. So it'll be next weekend, generally Friday, Saturday, Sunday. But sometimes in the past, the Eagles have only done one day. So I shouldn't say that. Other teams, it's a little bit longer. So until we know, we don't know. But it'll be next week either way.
Looking forward to seeing that. Looking forward to seeing the rookies out there. Obviously, some of them won't be out there. I think it's Jahad Campbell, right? Is he the only one who probably won't be in pads? Is everybody else good to go?
Well, nobody will be in pads. There's no pads.
Not pads, but, in athletic mode.
As far as I know, yeah, but we'll see on that. There could be injuries that we don't know about. Guys can get hurt in training, and all of a sudden show up and they're not ready to go with a hamstring or something less serious. But as far as, coming off surgery, he's the only one with an obvious issue, I would say.
Johnny Mack, I want to talk defensive line here on this morning. I want to welcome everybody in. Thank you all for being here. Hit that like button. All right, we appreciate everybody for being here this morning. We got a great show planned today. We got Mike Gill and Brandon Lee Gowton, our usual Wednesday suspects. So looking forward to talking to both of those guys here, see what they thought of the Eagles' haul in the NFL draft. John, I want to start with the defensive line, all right, because a couple of weeks ago when we were talking about the edge rushing room, you said if they go into the season and this is their rotation, something bad happened, all right? Now, does Jahad Campbell address that? Do you think there's more coming there? How do you feel right now overall about the depth, about the rotation, and about the players that the Eagles have on the defensive line post-NFL draft?
I want people to turn on their listening devices because it bothers me when people, go in a different direction from what I actually say. The end game for Jahad Campbell is to be a big part of the pass rushing package. The end game, the goal. He's got a torn labrum. Had surgery in March. Has been playing off-ball linebacker at Alabama. If you go back to last year as Cooper DeJean, who was an outside corner at Iowa. That's how the Eagles scouted him. That's how the scouting department, the personnel department, envisioned him. And obviously the Eagles still had Darius Slay, Quinyon Mitchell. So to get him on the field, he had to play in the slot. Was not familiar. Didn't play a lot in the slot. Hurt his hamstring before training camp. Did not play the first 4 weeks. Only to the bye week, which was early last year. Did he ramp up and get on the field and turn into the Cooper DeJean that everyone knows and loves now? Day one, no, it's not any solution. This guy's very raw as a pass rusher. He's got to work on technique. He's got to do all these things. He's got to ramp up to be that. But if you see Howie Roseman's comments, Alec Hallaby on Eagles.com, the assistant GM, obviously in lockstep. Everybody can go read it over there. It's clear what they want the goal to be. Someone in the chat yesterday said, oh, McMullen really doesn't want him to play off-ball linebacker. I don't give a shit where he plays. I'm trying to give you an information of what they envision the player being. I don't care where he plays. Doesn't impact me at all. When they drafted him, I was like everybody else. I said, oh my God, they drafted a linebacker in the first round. I was like everybody else. Then I listened to Howie and his projection of the player. And again, it's a projection. That doesn't mean day one of off-season work, which is even going to be healthy. It doesn't mean day one of training camp, which he's probably not going to be healthy.
Yeah, right.
It doesn't mean day one of the regular season. It might be week five, like Cooper. That was a 3-week injury, and it took him to fifth week, and maybe the second half of the season. It may be the second year of his career. But that's the projection of the player. And again, from Howie Roseman and Alec Hallaby, not from me. Sorry, I'm glad you went there because I wanted at some point.
Well, no, I appreciate you clarifying.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
I know, because obviously, I think most of the people here understand what you're saying, but again, we've talked about how there's a little bit of a back and forth on understanding of what Jahad Campbell is going to be. And yesterday, Brandon Lee Gowan, who we're going to have on later today, tweeted out that Fran Duffy, the guy who used to work with the Eagles, he's over at PHLY, does a great job for them. He put out, my understanding from conversations I've had in the last few days is that it's going to be off-ball linebacker first, and then we'll see what happens from there. Now, people will say that's different from what you're saying, but it's actually very consistent with what you're saying in that the end goal is to get him to the edge. Now, back to my original question though, John. Do you think they're done adding then at the edge? Do you think there's another move to come? Is there another domino to fall on this defensive line?
Well, I think it's dependent on off-season work, maybe even into training camp. Whereas I say, everybody loves their draft class. You see it all the time. One of my pet peeves about draft grades is not only that they're silly, what is the import? What is the importance of a draft grade if everybody gets an A to a B? Okay.
Right.
They're not all going to be Bs because
not all the players are going to hit, regardless of where people had them on their value chart.
So if you're going to do those grades, which are silly to begin with, at least, go out on a limb and say, all right, these guys suck. They didn't do a good job. Or these guys did a great job. Everybody getting an A or B, and there's certain draft guys. And like I said, personnel people and coaches, especially in the modern era, are relentlessly positive. I mean, they're taught to be that way. So they don't, whenever you see these goofy social media accounts about unnamed scouts ripping players, they don't do that. They don't talk that way. They'll talk about deficiencies, but they'll talk, they'll talk much more about what the player can do than what he can't do. It's basically how they're taught.
Right.
And, it's the coach's job to mask those deficiencies and accentuate the positives as much as possible, because there's no, you know, from Abdul Carter on down, there's no perfect defensive player. From guys who've done it at the NFL level, Hall of Fame level players, like Aaron Donald's the best defensive player of this generation. Doesn't mean he was perfect. Nobody's perfect. So everybody has a chance, you know, to improve. So, and the chat, you know, old school guys would talk that way. Bill Parcells, you know, when he calls Terrell Owens she or something like that, you know, there was more of that hard-nosed, really critical in the old school, but I think it's changed a lot. You know, you have to evolve with society, and that's where we are as a society. People, you know, especially younger people, I think would have a more difficult time dealing with the Bill Parcells is how I would describe it. So you get more Nick Sirianni types who are relentlessly positive. And there's nothing wrong with that. That's just the
nature of the beast. Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, but you get this around the NFL every year. And guys are like, oh, we got this guy in the draft. We got this guy in the draft. And then they get him on the field and they go, oh shit. And whether it's, you know, this guy's not ready. Not even that. Again, it takes time to develop players normally. Little spoiled from that standpoint last year with Quinion and Cooper. But even Cooper, you know, people forget that first 4 weeks he didn't play, you know, only to the bye week. And I thought Vic waited a little bit too long on that, but, you know, it didn't hurt him. That's for sure. So it generally takes some time, but you know, so they'll give Azeez Ojulari and Josh Uche and more importantly, Jalix Hunt opportunities. But you know, if it becomes clear, and Vic's pretty good at this, as he's proven, that that's not enough, and I think it will become clear, then they got to go a different direction. Probably get more of a veteran stopgap at this stage. You're not getting Myles Garrett, you know, right. He's not de-signing and re-signing. They're not in a position to get Trey Hendrickson. Although, you know, if you get desperate enough, your mentality, your sentiment changes. And if they show up and they start working and Vic goes, yeah, this ain't going to work, you know, that shifts the scales a little bit.
So as it stands right now,
I would not be comfortable with it.
Who do you think would be the starters on that defensive line right now? If we started the season today, which we don't, we got plenty of time. Who would be the starters in your opinion on that defensive line? Front seven. Give me the front seven.
Well, front seven, odd front. So, you know, the run stopping front, for lack of a better term, the 50 front, whatever you want to call them. Jordan Davis is your nose tackle. The two four eyes are Jalen Carter and Moro Ajomo. And the edge rushers would be Nolan Smith and Jalix Hunt. You know, that's where they will default, I'm pretty sure, because A, they like to give the in-house, you know, the guy who's been here, the first rep, whatever, like that's meaningful.
I think Jalix is going to be the best of the three, to be honest with you.
Well, he'll get the first rep, because he did enough to get. Now, I'm not saying a couple years ago, we always bring it, you know, Steve Nelson. Well, they had nobody with any upside at cornerback, so he signed like 2 days before camp. First defensive rep of camp was Steve Nelson, basically for the entire season. But they had no obvious in-house potential starting. They were talking about starting Zach McPherson, an outside cornerback, as a fourth-round pick. That's the kind of lack of depth they had. So, you know, everything is fluid, but Jalix did enough last year. Well, who'll get the first sort of opportunity, if you want to call it that. Now, again, the first rep in training camp, which is, you know, what you were talking about.
Andre Dillard got the first rep over
Mo. Andre Dillard got the first rep over. You know, how many, all we do this show, we do football 24/7 training camp tonight, whatever we call it, every day during training camp. Devin White. And everybody loses their mind at the end, even though I told them it ended up being N'Kobe Dean. And, you know, Vic, I remember Vic very vividly, you know, asked the question, you know, what's going on here? Why did Devin get all these reps? And all the fans are like, well, he gets all the reps. That's not what training camp's about. You know, in the case of N'Kobe Dean, they were trying to, A, see if he could stay healthy. B, yes, light a little bit of a fire under his butt, so to speak. And a number of different things to try to massage the player to get to his potential, which ultimately he reached. I would say he overachieved to where people expected him to play after his first two seasons by a pretty wide margin. But I vividly remember Vic being asked the question when the change was made, and he basically said, yeah, it wasn't close. That blows people's minds.
Right.
Because, you know, it, training camp is not about, you know, statistics, no offense to Elliot, not about quarterback statistics. It's not about rep counting. It's about getting to where you want to be as a coaching staff. You know, Doug Peterson used to have 10-10-10 practices where the practices are essentially, you know, not walk through speed, but a little bit more, but there's a 10-minute period where you're working on offense and the defense is just out there to give the offense a look, and then it goes to defense, then it goes to special teams. And the Eagles had to print out a thing and give it to the members of the media and say, look, this is a 10-10-10 practice, because they didn't want, oh, so-and-so threw a touchdown pass to that and the corner looked terrible. Not supposed to be. It's giving them a look to execute the play. So there's a lot of misconception about training camp practices. And believe me, I've been to training camp practices for almost 30 years. When I first started doing it, I had no idea about this shit. Like everybody else. There's different goals. And even today, I don't know everything they're trying to accomplish, everything they're trying to do.
Right.
But if you evaluate it like a game, you're going to get a lot of shit wrong.
Exactly. And when you say the goal of training camp, you know, is for the coaches to be prepped, you know, what are some of the
coaches
things
that to get involved? Players prepped.
Players prepped. But is it also knowing their personnel, knowing, you know, what each player can do? In this case, they have a lot of new players, obviously. Like, you know, Vic Fangio can turn on the Ojulari tape until he gets him in practice. I don't, you know, does he really know what he has in that player? Is that a part of it as well?
Yeah, I mean, Jim Schwartz gave me the best. That offseason is for teaching. Training camp is evaluation. And regular season is preparation for the next opponent. That's all you do in the regular season. Week one's about the week one opponent. Week two is about the week two opponent. So you have teaching, evaluation, and some of the teaching bleeds into the first 2 weeks of training camp. Then evaluation, then preparation. That's what the calendar looks like. And the entire goal is, yeah, I mean, every coach goes through it with every player, because you think you got everything you wanted in the draft or free agency. Not certain teams. There's certain bad teams. But, you know, there's a lot of hype about Mukuba and Robinson and even some of the lesser draft picks. you know, and you get them into an even an OTA environment, certainly in training camp, and you go, all right, he's not ready. And then you got to ship gears. It happens all over the league to every team. And edge is still a position where the Eagles might have to address with a more accomplished player at some point, unless they hit gold on Azeez Ojulari or Josh Uche, which is possible.
If I forced you to, if I forced you to say yes or no, they will add an edge at this point, and obviously you reserve the right to change it. Like what you just explained will determine whether they do it or not. Do you think right now you believe they will add another edge?
Yeah, I think they're going to have to.
I agree. We'll see what ends up happening there. We got Mike Gill in the green room. Looking forward to talking to Mike Gill. And a welcome and thank everybody again for being here this morning. Don't forget to hit that like button. All right, a great NFL draft for the Eagles. We had two great guests on yesterday. All right, two great guests coming up for you guys today. Let's get to Mike Gill joining us here on Birds 365. You can follow him at Mike Gill Show. All right, go check him out on YouTube at Mike Gill Show over there as well. Mike, welcome to the show, man. How you doing here on this Wednesday morning?
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Valspar Ultra starts at just $29.98 a gallon. So we've got you covered when your daughter wants to paint her room again after last year's masterpiece of a unicorn mural.
Dad, please!
Or when you realize that maybe you went too hard on the greige.
I miss color.
Or when you were sure you wanted a home gym, but your elliptical is currently hanging your laundry.
What about a home office?
Shop everything you need for your next phase with Valspar. Available at Lowe's. Price varies by sheen.